Creature from Cleveland Depths by Fritz Leiber. Come on, Gussie, Faye prodded quietly. Quit stalking around like a neurotic bear and suggest something for my invention team to work on. I enjoy visiting you and Daisy, but I can't stay above ground all night. If being outside the shelters makes you nervous, don't come around any more, Gusterson told him, continuing to stalk. Why doesn't your invention team think of something to invent? Why don't you? Ha! In the ha lay triumphant condemnation of a whole way of life. We do, Faye responded imperturbably, but a fresh viewpoint sometimes helps. I'll say it does. Faye, you burglar, I bet you've got 20 people like myself you milk for fresh ideas. First you irritate their bark, and then you make the rounds every so often to draw off the latex or the maple gloop. Faye smiled. It ought to please you that society still has a use for you outre, inner-directed types. It takes something to make a junior executive stay above ground after dark, when the missiles are on the prowl. Society can't have much use for us, or it'd pay us something, Gusterson sourly asserted, staring blankly at the tankless TV, and kicking it lightly as he passed on. No, you're wrong about that, Gussie. Money's not the key goad with you inner directeds. I got that straight from our motivations chief. Did he tell you what we should use instead to pay the grocer? A deep inner sense of achievement, maybe? Faye, why should I do any free thinking for microsystems? I'll tell you why, Gussie. Simply because you get a kick out of insulting us with sardonic ideas. If we take one of them seriously, you think we're degrading ourselves, and that pleases you even more. Like making someone laugh at a lousy pun. Gusterson held still in his roaming and grinned. Not the reason, huh? I suppose my suggestions would have to be something in the line of ultra-sub-miniaturized computers, where one sinister fine-etched molecule does the work of three big bumbling brain cells. Not necessarily. Microsystems is branching out. Wheel as free as a rogue star. But I'll pass along to promotion your one-molecule, three-brain-cell sparkler. It's a slight exaggeration, but it's catchy. I'll have my kids watch your ads to see if you use it, and then I'll sue the whole underworld. Gusterson frowned as he resumed his stalking. He stared puzzledly at the antique TV. How about inventing a plutonium termite? He said suddenly. It would get rid of those stockpiles that are worrying you moles to death. Faye grimaced noncommittally and cocked his head. Well then, how about a beauty mask? How about that, hey? I don't mean one to repair a woman's complexion, but one she'd wear all the time, that'd make her look like a 17-year-old sex pot. That'd end her worries. Hey, that's for me, Daisy called from the kitchen. I'll make Gusterson suffer. I'll make him crawl around on his hands and knees, begging my immature favors. No, you won't, Gusterson called back. You having a face like that would scare the kids. Better cancel that one, Faye. Half the adult race looking like Vina Vidarsson is too awful a thought. Yeah, you're just scared of making $1 million, Daisy jeered. I sure am, Gusterson said solemnly, scanning the fuzzy floor from one murky glass wall to the other, hesitating at the TV. How about something homey now? Like a flock of little prickly cylinders that roll around on the floor, collecting lint and flub. They worked by electricity. Or, at a pinch, cats could bat them around. Every so often they'd be automatically herded together, and the lint cleaned off the bristles.
No good, Faye said.
There's no lint underground, and cats are verboten. And the above-ground market doesn't amount to more money-wise than the state of Southern Illinois. Keep it grander, Gussie, and more impractical. You can't sell people merely useful ideas. From his hassock in the center of the room, he looked uneasily around. Say, did that violet tone in the glass come from the High Cleveland hydrogen bomb? Or is it just age and ultraviolet, like desert glass?
No.
Somebody's grandfather liked it, that color, Gusterson informed him with happy bitterness. I like it, too. The glass, I mean, not the tint. People who live in glass houses can see the stars, especially when there's a window-washing streak in their germplasm.
Gussie, why don't you move underground? Faye asked, his voice taking on a missionary note. It's a lot easier living in one room, believe me. You don't have to tramp from room to room hunting things.
I like the exercise, Gusterson said stoutly.
But I bet Daisy'd prefer it underground, and your kids wouldn't have to explain why their father lives like a Red Indian. Not to mention the safety factor, and insurance savings, and a crypt church within easy slidewalk distance. Incidentally, we see the stars all the time, better than you do, by repeater.
Stars by repeater, Gusterson murmured to the ceiling, pausing for God to comment. Then, no, Fay, even if I could afford it, and stand it, I'm such a bad luck, Harry, that just when I got us all safely stowed at the N-1 sublevel, the Soviets would discover an earthquake bomb that struck from below, and I'd have to follow everybody back to the treetops.
Hey! How about bubble homes in orbit around Earth? Microsystems could subdivide the world's most spacious suburb, and all you moles could go ellipsing. Space is as safe as there is. No air, no shock waves. Free falls, the ultimate in restfulness. Great health benefits. Commute by rocket. Or better yet, stay home and do all your business by TV telephone, or by Waldo, if it were that sort of thing. Even pet your girl by remote control. She in her bubble, you in yours, whizzing through vacuum. Oh, damn, 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 damn! He was glaring at the blank screen of the TV, his big hands clenching and unclenching.
"Don't let Faye give you apoplexy," Daisy said, sticking her trim head in from the kitchen, while Faye inquired anxiously, "Gussie, what's the matter?"
"Nothing, you worm!" Gusterson roared. "Except that an hour ago I forgot to tune in on the only TV program I've wanted to hear this year. Finnegan's Wake scored for English, Gaelic, and Brogue. Oh, damn, 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 damn!"
"Too bad," Faye said lightly. "I didn't know they were releasing it on flat TV, too."
"Well, they were. Some things are too damn big to keep completely underground, and I had to forget. I'm always doing it. I miss everything." "Look here, you rat," he blatted suddenly at Faye, shaking his finger under the latter's chin. "I'll tell you what you can have that ignorant team of yours invent. They can fix me up a mechanical secretary that I can feed orders into, and that'll remind me when the exact moment comes to listen to TV, or phone somebody, or mail in a story, or write a letter, or pick up a magazine, or look at an eclipse or a new orbiting station, or fetch the kids from school, or buy Daisy a bunch of flowers, or whatever it is. It's got to be something that's always with me. Not something I have to go and consult, or that I can get sick of and put down somewhere.
and it's got to remind me forcibly enough so that I take notice and don't just shrug it aside, like I sometimes do, even when Daisy reminds me of things. That's what your stupid team can invent for me. If they do a good job, I'll pay 'em as much as $50.
That doesn't sound like anything so very original to me, Faye commented coolly, leaning back from the wagging finger. I think all senior executives have something of that sort. At least their secretary keeps some kind of file.
I'm not looking for something with spiked falsies and nylons up to the neck, interjected Gusterson, whose ideas about secretaries were a trifle lurid. I just want a mech reminder. That's all.
Well, I'll keep the idea in mind, Faye assured him, along with the bubble homes and beauty masks. If we ever develop anything along those lines, I'll let you know. If it's a beauty mask, I'll bring Daisy a pilot model to use to scare strange kids. He put his watch to his ear.
Good Lord, I'm going to have to cut to make it underground before the main doors close. Just 10 minutes to second curfew. Bye, Gus. Bye, Daisy.
2 minutes later, living room lights out. They watched Faye's foreshortened ant-like figure scurrying across the balding, ill-lit park toward the nearest escalator.
Gusterson said, "Weird to think of that big, bright spaceport glamour basement stretching around everywhere underneath."
"Did you remind Smitty to put a new bulb in the elevator?"
"The Smiths moved out this morning," Daisy said tonelessly. "They went underneath."
"Like cockroaches," Gusterson said. "Cockroaches leaving this sinking apartment building. Next the ghosts'll be retreating to the shelters."
"Anyhow, from now on, we're our own janitors."
He nodded.
"Just leaves 3 families besides us loyal to this glass death trap, not counting ghosts." He sighed.
Then,
"You like to move below, Daisy?" he asked softly, putting his arm lightly across her shoulders.
"Get a woozy eyeful of the bright lights and all for a change? Be a rat for a while? Maybe we're getting too old to be bats. I could scrounge me a company job and have a thinking closet all to myself and 2 secretaries with stainless steel breasts. Life would be easier for you, and a lot cleaner, and you'd sleep safer."
"That's true," she answered, and paused. She ran her fingertip slowly across the murky glass, its violet tint barely perceptible against a cold, dim light across the park.
"But somehow," she said, snaking her arm around his waist, "I don't think I'd sleep happier, or one bit excited." End of part 1.